Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The 75th annual Juneau Lions Club gold medal basketball tournament kicked off last weekend in Juneau. Throughout this week, more than 500 people from across Southeast Alaska will attend to watch nearly 50 games. KTOO's Clarice Larson spent some time at the tournament and chatted with attendees and players about what it means to be part of the event.
Marcelo Quinto was just 6 years old when the first ever gold medal basketball tournament took place in Juneau in 1947. He's in his 80s now, and he doesn't remember much about that tournament, beyond one very clear thing.
It was jammed, because there was no TV then.
The location of the tournament has changed since then. Instead of the cramped Capitol School, it's now at the Juneau Douglas High School Yada'at Kathle Gymnasium. He says other things have changed, too.
These kids are faster, I think. They're faster. A lot of the rules have changed.
This year's tournament is special. It marks a historic 75 years of competition, disrupted only by the COVID-19 pandemic, which hit the pause button for a few years. For Quinto, the tournament, which is older than the state of Alaska, represents decades of memories.
The greatest thing about this tournament really is being able to see all your friends from all the Southeast, from Ketchikan, all the way up.
The first game kicked off Sunday morning, and games will continue daily throughout this week. In total, there'll be 48 games played by 25 different regional adult teams, competing for titles in four brackets. Tim Wilson, a Lions Club co-chair for this year's tournament, says for many, this tournament represents something much greater than the game of basketball. In 1947, it started as a way to raise money for Boy Scouts. But now, Wilson says it transcends the court.
For it to be in the 75th year is really special to us. I mean, I don't think when they started 75 years ago, I don't know if they envisioned it lasting 75 years. I always say that gold medal is one big, huge family. I honestly believe that.
Orion Dibdahl is a player on the Hoonah B bracket team this year. He recently graduated from JDHS, where last year he was selected by coaches around the state with the Alaska Association of Basketball Coaches as a senior all-star. Now, he's playing basketball at Centralia College in Washington, but he says he couldn't resist coming home for spring break and playing on his home court again.
Probably since birth, I've been here at these games watching my dad play and just watching all these teams battle. Kind of a dream come true. Been waiting to play for Hoonah for a long time.
Dibdahl says gold medal's roots run deep, not just for his family, but for Southeast Alaska. His family is from Hoonah. Many teams have players who don't actually live in the communities they represent, but they still have close connections to them. For many, gold medal is the one time a year they can connect with loved ones.
It means everything just to see family members, friends from other communities. This tournament's more than basketball. It's kind of like a reunion.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the possibility of parole offers hope to people serving long prison sentences for serious crime. But it's more and more difficult for Alaska prisoners to win discretionary parole. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, advocates and parolees went to the state capitol to make the case that the parole board is considering the wrong factors.
In the summer of 2020, Sylvester Byrd Jr. was sitting in a hallway with other inmates at Wildwood Correctional Complex in Kenai, agonizing over what his next years would look like. One after another, his fellow inmates got the news. They would not be leaving prison anytime soon. And pretty soon, it would be his turn.
It is a terrifying experience.
That's Byrd telling his story to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Byrd was serving time for first-degree murder for shooting a driver in Midtown Anchorage 25 years earlier. And on that day in Wildwood, each of the inmates were up for discretionary parole. That's a chance to be released from prison based on their record and their plans for reintegration into society. About a third of felony offenders in Alaska's prisons are eligible, and some can go up for parole after serving a quarter or a third of their sentences. It's distinct from mandatory parole, which is much more common, but only after inmates have served most of their time. That day in Wildwood, one by one, the Alaska State Board of Parole told the prisoners no, they had not met the criteria for release. Then Sylvester Byrd got his answer. He would be released the following May.
I remember that day so vividly that when they granted me parole, I was stunned. It was my PO that tapped me and was like, "You got it." And I literally was like, "Oh my God."
He was one of just 60 people granted discretionary parole that year. Five times as many had their parole decisions put on hold or denied. Since 2018, far more Alaska inmates have been denied discretionary parole than granted it. That's a reversal from as recently as 2016, when more than 60% of applications were granted. The chair of the parole board, Letone Tupo, told the committee that board members consider a variety of factors when deciding whether to grant discretionary parole. One of the four factors outlined in state law is whether releasing the inmate on parole would, quote, diminish the seriousness of the crime. And Tupo says that criterion weighs heavily on the board.
The nature of the offense itself, in associated with the degree of the offense, determined the seriousness of the offense.
Megan Edge, director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska's Prison Project, told the committee that's not something that should be up to the parole board to decide.
The parole board, appointed by the executive branch, does not have sentencing authority. But when it denies parole because of the seriousness of the crime, they are effectively resentencing the person before them.
Edge says it's a common justification for denying parole, though official statistics can't confirm that. A Department of Corrections spokesperson says the state doesn't track it. But Edge argues it's not the board's job to look at what happened before the inmate was sent to prison. Its role is to assess whether someone is likely to break the law again if released.
It's the job of corrections to rehabilitate. And when corrections is able to accomplish this, then the board must acknowledge the sentence from the court and the work of the team of people who make people with felony convictions healthier, more well-functioning, safer members of our communities.
Edge wants to eliminate the board's power to deny parole based on the seriousness of the crime. A bill backed by the ACLU and sponsored by Anchorage Democratic Senator Lukey Tobin would add two members to the parole board. It would designate some seats for physicians, a tribal member, an addiction counselor, someone with a felony conviction, and a representative of crime victims. No more than three members could be current or former corrections employees. Tobin spoke in favor of the bill.
All crimes are serious. But what is really critical is that parole is used to help folks understand that there is hope at the end of the conversation. That as they are incarcerated, there is a reason to be on good behavior. There's a reason to think about what comes next. There's a reason to plan for a life after incarceration.
The proposal was well received at the hearing, but a few days later, former legislator Ralph Samuel sent a three-page letter to the committee, first reported by the political blog Alaska Landmine. Samuels argues that removing the seriousness of the crime criterion would violate the Victims' Rights Amendment. That 1994 constitutional amendment changed the stated purpose of Alaska's criminal justice system to include, quote, community condemnation of the offender. Samuel's brother was murdered in 1989. Byrd, the former Wildwood inmate who won parole, listed Dwayne Samuel's killer as a good candidate for discretionary parole. Ralph Samuels called that, quote, the most insulting thing I have ever heard. Senator Scott Kawasaki, a Fairbanks Democrat who chairs the State Affairs Committee, said after the hearing he plans to advance the bill, but it's not clear if it has enough support to make it through the House and Senate before the end of this year's legislative session. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And as for the weather in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and sunny. The low tonight is 33, and it looks like it's going to be sunny for the rest of this week as well, with highs ranging from the mid to high 40s and lows in the mid 20s to mid 30s. Rain may return next week. And sunset is at 7:13 tonight. Tomorrow morning, sun will rise just before 7 o'clock. We're getting 12 hours and 15 minutes of daylight these days. Yesterday was the spring equinox. You're listening to KTOO.